Dave, I'll go back to you. Gary talked about without the recognition of sin, that there is evil, and that personal choice enters into it. Not everybody murders. Not everybody uses a gun to kill people. They may use a gun, but use it responsibly. So that's not the issue. But Dave, it does go to the heart of the broader issue that we're seeing actually played out with all of this Justice Department investigating, all these things by Congress trying to do what they are doing with the president within the system. And I want to take it to this aspect of justice. Is it possible, Dave, to have true justice or a functioning Justice Department or legal system if you completely disregard personal choice and the reality of sin and the reality of evil?
Sam, let me answer that in just a second, but let me just say this. Sam, obviously we know this. We've talked about this before. It's not the implement used in the hands of a person with a wicked heart that is the problem. It's the wicked heart behind the gun. And I think what Terry McAuliffe was trying to say is true. It was 93 people die a day as a result of gun violence, but 96 people on average die every day as a result of vehicular death. So just like it is not the gun, it is not the automobile that commits the transgression. It is a person behind the car or a person behind the gun. And so if these people are really interested in dealing with the implement, why don't they go after automobiles, or why don't they go after cigarettes, or why don't they go after any number of other things? The answer to that is they have an agenda, and it has to do with Second Amendment rights and eliminating them. But to answer your question, Sam, no, there is absolutely no way we can have justice in this country, and our Justice Department cannot act in accordance with the founders' vision unless they're willing to admit that sin is a reality, evil exists, and people must be held accountable for their own personal sinful choices. Sam, if we eliminate that, we have no foundation upon which to stand.
And Gary, I'm going to go back to you. Again, we've talked about this a lot. Those of you who are listening to the program, you hear a recurring theme. That's intentional, because in the broadcast here, we try to take and apply a biblical worldview to the issues of the day, because that's what's missing in most all media responses to what's taking place. It's a biblical worldview. When's the last time you heard Rush Limbaugh talk about sin or Michael Sabb? Well, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not picking them out, but I'm saying there's a distinction about even approaching a matter from a conservative perspective and approaching a matter and going to its root from a biblical perspective, which has to take you right down to the nature of man and the nature of God. Gary, if you're in the pastor, you're in the pulpit, all of us on this program preach, but you occupy a pulpit as a pastor. In your estimation, if the pulpits of America were to realize the seriousness of where we are, not just the fact that there's violence occurring, but way down underneath of it, the fact that really people don't understand sin. They don't understand a holy God. They don't understand, therefore, justice and what it looks like. Gary, if the pulpits and Christians in America were to actually awaken to that reality, what would it look like?
Well, there would be a change. You know, I think what's happened today, Sam, is that the pulpits of America and the people in the pews have been lulled to sleep by things that are going on in the world around us. And, you know, isn't it interesting that on several different occasions in the New Testament, the Word of God tells us to wake up and to realize what's going on around us, to be circumspect and observing what's going on around us, and make biblical decisions and wise choices. And so I think that we've been lulled to sleep by one reason or another. And so the answer to your question is yes, the pulpits need to make the difference. I mentioned to you that last night we had a special prayer meeting here at the church. I gave five things for our people to pray for in light of what happened yesterday. The fifth thing, not least, but the last on the list, was that pulpits must become hot in preaching the truth of the Word of God without compromise. And I think that that has been slacking in America today. I again put a lot of responsibility on the pulpit. We need to get back to making the pulpit what God intended it to be, and that's clear exhortation from the unadulterated truth of the living Word of God.
Dave, I guess we only have just a couple of seconds here. Actually, I'm probably not going to be able to go to you right now because of it, but ladies and gentlemen, the application of the truth is something that I want to encourage you all, don't wait for the pulpits to do it. Our emphasis, obviously, is on the pulpits that they lead. As Gary said, to preach the truth, to stand in a gap for truth, to communicate the truth, all of these things. However, none of us who are in the pews and are not in the pulpit are ever going to be able to blame our inaction on the lack of the pastor's action. We all share that duty and responsibility if we know the truth. So I put a little bit of that responsibility in all of you and say, stand in the gap for truth. Where are you? And that's why we say that over and over again.